Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Father's Day this weekend. Are you going to do a little grilling outside, maybe? I think we will be doing some grilling. I'm sure we will. And maybe we'll be trying some new recipes that come from Mad Dog and Merrill's new cookbook. They've got a new one out. It's called Midwest Grillin' Cookbook. And it's really my pleasure to have with us today Mad Dog and Merrill here by phone. They'll be with us for the next 40 minutes or so to answer your grilling questions. What's your go-to grilling meal? Are you happy to stick with it? Or are you looking for some new ideas? Ever grill breakfast or even dessert on the grill? Those are some things we can talk about, too. And you can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to our Facebook page as well at The Larry Mueller Show. We've already posted the book, the new book, and Judith's also posted some of the recipes. So you're going to want to take a look at The Larry Mueller Show Facebook page and see some of those great recipes. We'll talk about them as we move along today. Mad Dog, are you there?
Absolutely, Larry.
Hey, and Merrill, are you there?
Absolutely, Larry. We're sort of like Mad Dog and Merrill. We're always there.
So you guys are going to be grilling this weekend?
Yes, we are. Oh. Matter of fact, grilling up today, doing some promotions for our new book. We're going to be at the Festival Food Store in New London today, and then we got some promotions all this weekend. And then, of course, not better way to celebrate Father's Day to cook your own meal on Father's Day for all the kids to come over to celebrate Father's Day, which they should be doing the grilling.
Well, that's how it works in my house, too. Pretty much probably everybody's house. Well, your new book just out, what are some of why did you put a new one together, and what are some of your favorites?
Well, you know, over the course of the last 30 years, we've done a lot of television, a lot of stage presentations, a lot of personal appearances. And in your mind that day, you create recipes that sometimes you forget to put in cookbooks, and you think about here and there, like our jalapeno poppers and our summer sausage and our grilled Twinkies and a lot of great recipes. And we just started adding them up, and we came up with like 130 pages worth of recipes that we just needed to put a new book out, 30-year anniversary.
Well, it's great, and you've got some tips as you kind of read through the book here. I noticed that there are some kind of cool tips. One that I hadn't thought about, and maybe you've told me this before and I forgot about it, had to do with corn on the cob and stretching the butter. That involved some butter and some water. You remember that one, or you guys already forget it?
Absolutely. You take the coffee can, and you add it about 3/4 full of water, and then you add about a stick and a half or 2 sticks of butter, and you just kind of warm it up, and the butter floats to the top, and as you stick the corn in and pull it back up, the butter stays on the top and on the corn.
Yeah, that's
good
a
recipes.
Yeah, that's a great way to save butter, and well, maybe on your waistline a little bit too. Scott and Harmony has a question for you guys. Hi, Scott.
Hi. I was just going to say one of the things I like grilling is bacon on the grill.
Aha! Uh-huh.
It's very good for breakfast, and it's grilled bacon is good with a BLT.
So how do you cook the bacon?
Pork candy.
Yeah,
right on the grates.
Yeah. Oh.
Matter of fact, you've got to make sure your grill's clean.
Yep. Matter of fact, they just even did some turkey bacon. As Mad Dog mentioned, we got a recipe in our cookbook called Pig Candy. And pig candy down south, a lot of times they'll use side pork, or you'll use bacon and just grill up the bacon, 4 or 5 minutes on each side, top it with brown sugar, and I'll tell you, you just can't have one. The side pork's great. They just had a contest in Brussels a couple weeks ago just on side pork. But you take side pork and grill it up and put some brown sugar on it, and boy, you are in heaven.
Page 68 of our new cookbook.
All right. Thanks, Scott.
Yep.
Yeah, appreciate the call. All right. I've never grilled bacon.
Well, you never lived until you had pig candy with brown sugar on top, let me tell you.
Jeff in Oconomowoc has something for you. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good.
See, I saw you guys at the Home and Garden Show this past winter, and you've inspired me to grill just about everything. I got a couple wild turkeys this spring hunting and want to know how I can grill them without them drying out. Do you have any tips for that?
Well, gas or charcoal?
What's that?
Gas or charcoal there, young man.
I was going to do gas, and it's just the turkey breast, not the whole bird.
Okay, so we've got a gas grill, and we got the turkey breast.
And it's simple to do. You just don't want to overcook them. And if the skin's on them, that's a wonderful thing. Either way, you need to glisten them with an oil, season them up nice. You do not want any heat underneath that turkey breast. And if the skin's off it, you might even want to layer, I don't want to go back to bacon again, but you might want to layer 5-6 strips of bacon over the top to keep some moisture on there, like a lot of people do with venison also. And you just slow cook it, indirect method of cooking, for about 17, 18 minutes a pound. So that little breast probably takes maybe 40, 45 minutes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And if you're doing any chicken before that, and one thing I've done is I save the skin off the chicken. Sometimes I'll throw it in the freezer, and then I'll thaw it out, and I'll put it on top of sort of like a wild turkey breast where you don't have the skin, and that works.
I bet you still have your first penny, Larry.
I like the flavor. It's not all about the cost.
Oh,
it's saving
that's
money.
Great. Good for you, Larry. You're a grillologist. That's great.
Oh, man.
A frugal grillologist.
Well, I tell you what, it works, so I do it.
Great idea.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And you can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. And don't forget the Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And let's talk about Father's Day for a minute. Sunday, obviously, Father's Day. What's fun or new but not too tricky of a recipe to try out?
Well, you know what? We're doing tri-tip today, like I'd mentioned, for promotion. And that's something that a lot of people in Wisconsin are not accustomed to, is tri-tip. And that's actually the bottom sirloin tip of the sirloin roast. And it's a very, very tender cut of meat, and it's very economical. And most of those tri-tips are anywhere from 1.5 pounds to 2.5 pounds. And very simply, all what we're going to do is I'm just going to marinate it with a little bit of olive oil, a little bit of Worcestershire sauce, and just a little bit of barbecue sauce. I'll use some of our barbecue sauce, which has a spicy taste to it, a couple tablespoons, but marinate it for 3 or 4 hours. But you grill the tri-tip direct heat like you would a steak. And the one thing with tri-tip is you don't want to overcook it, but take it off about 145 degrees and try to let it rest for 5 minutes, and then slice it across the grain, and it comes out great for on sandwiches. It's just very easy and very economical to do, and it's a fantastic flavor.
It sounds very good to me. Pam and Marshall has a question for you. Hi, Pam.
Hi. You know, I was just wondering, grilling sounds like so much fun. I'm a horrible cook, and I've never grilled, and I'm 60. Do you think I'm too old to learn?
You're never too old to learn there, dear. The best suggestion to you is to go out and get a little portable gas grill that takes a 1-pound cylinder tank, and okay, start out with nice little hamburgers on the grill, sausages, pork chops, lamb chops. You know, it's so easy. Chicken breasts are just so delicious. And, you know, economically, with that little portable gas tank, you'll get a couple hours of cooking time off it for a couple bucks.
Well, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't go wrong, Pam.
Okay, thanks.
And, you know, pay attention. You'll get a book with it. You'll get a little cookbook probably with it, and directions, and read them and follow them.
Oh, that's read right. Directions. Oh, okay.
Oh, read directions.
Thanks, okay, Pam. I don't want you. I don't want to see you with singed eyes and hair.
Okay.
Bye. Oh, man. Shane and Rhinelander, hi to you.
I'm good. Yeah, just wondering if I could get some information about using wood chips on a gas grill. I'll take my answer off the air.
Wood chips, there's a lot of different containers out there that you could use for wood chips. Sometimes there's even a metal can that has wood chips in it, where you just place it on top of your flavorizing bars or lava rock. A good technique to use is just some aluminum foil. Soak your wood chips first. Wrap it up in the aluminum foil and place it to the closest heat source. But the problem is you're going to have to keep on adding wood chips all the time. And there's new devices out there that work off of an air pump that connect to your gas grill that automatically blow in the smoke into the grill. And you can check them out at any grill store. They would have those there too.
Oh, well, that's a new one on me. Well, I'm still using charcoal, so.
Good man. Good man, Larry.
by the way, Shane and Rhinelander should head on over to Triggs and ask for our barbecue sauces and spices.
All right. Triggs. All right. Yep. Alan Wassaw, your turn. Hi, Al.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning, Al. Hi. The last time you guys were on, you had mentioned about doing beer can chicken, and I just wanted to comment that I picked up a couple of little racks that hold the beer can, and then you just set the chicken over the top and cook them in directly on a gas grill. Like if you have a three-burner grill, you know, you turn the center one off and just heat with the two outside burners, and it's fantastic. It's just, I've done it several times this summer, and it's just awesome.
Good for you, Al. It sounds like Mad Dog and Merrill's job is in jeopardy, and you might be taking us over.
I tell you, go ahead. I'm just saying that they are the chicken comes out so juicy and tender. We had some Memorial Weekend on Long Lake. The Detmers family barbecued up some chicken, drunken chicken, and they were delicious.
I do have one other question for the guys. But the thing I'd like to try next is I'd like to do a whole turkey on the grill. And I know you had said guy with the turkey breast to cook them like 17 to 18 minutes per pound, but is that the same time for like a whole turkey if you're going to do a whole turkey on the grill like that?
That's pretty much the same time for that, Al, and you might want to try. Here's a venture for you. There's turkey beer butt holders out there where you use like a larger Foster's can.
Okay.
And you might want to look into those ventures, and you never know. You might have a nice full-time occupation doing beer butt chicken and turkeys and fowl.
If you supply the beer, Al, we'll be there to help.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Great show.
Thanks, yeah, Al. Thanks a lot for calling. By the way, there are several whole poultry fowl recipes in the book, and Judith put one of the duck ones up on our Facebook page. So if you want to check out some of Mad Dog and Merrill's recipes, you can go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page and look at the recipe we put up for duck. I think it was Greek duck.
Very good. I mean, duck is really good on the grill. A lot of people for undomesticated duck, one thing that we really sort of didn't talk about is a lot of times on duck, I'll go ahead and use toothpicks. Put toothpicks to the duck because that'll release a lot of the grease and everything on there. And then with on duck, you go ahead and oil it. Use your favorite seasonings. Usually, duck will take about an hour and a half to cook on the grill.
Yeah, it's wonderful. We had a comment on the Facebook page from Mary Beth. She says a while back, these geniuses, and she was saying it in a positive light about you guys. These geniuses told me I'd have better burgers if they were grilled more slowly. And last night, my 12-year-old son Matt followed their sage advice and grilled some of the very best, very low-fat burgers ever.
Good.
You bet. And one of the things we suggest with nice ground round burgers is to treat them like little roasts. And I pour a little oil on the patties of my hand when I patty the burgers so that they have a glistening of oil. I brown them up over a nice higher heat, but then I move them over to the side where there is no heat and just slow cook them for another 10, 12 minutes or till desired doneness.
There you go. And they come out a lot juicier.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mad Dog and Merrill, the grilling buddies, are with us today. They are talking about all kinds of grilling things. I mean, you know, sort of have decided to have them on because of Father's Day coming up, and everybody's got the grill out. They've got a new book out. That's the other reason we wanted to have them on. It's called Midwest Grillin' Cookbook. And they will be with us for another half hour or so. I hope you'll join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Larry Mueller here. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Mad Dog and Merrill with us as we talk about grilling, and join in with your own questions or comments, or maybe you've got some good ideas to share too, at 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org. You have a fun way, guys, to do corn on the cob that involves red wine. What's that? What's that all about?
Anything with red wine is a fun way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The sweet corn in it, there's different variations, but one of the better ones I prefer is a sheet of paper toweling, a sheet of aluminum foil the same size. The sheet of aluminum foil goes on the countertop, the paper toweling on top of that. You strip down your corn down to the kernels. You place it at one end of that paper toweling. You splash about a tablespoon and a half of red wine in the middle of the paper toweling so it soaks in like a Viva commercial.
And then you drizzle a little bit, about a tablespoon, tablespoon and a half of olive oil over the top of the whole thing, including the corn. And there, from there, you can knock your socks off. A little lemon juice, a little lime juice, some garlic, some fresh dill, oregano, basil, onions, green peppers. Whatever you add to that little pile of mess there, you hide it as soon as possible. So you roll it for, and whenever a man makes a mess, you always hide it as soon as possible. Trust me. You roll it first up in the sheet of paper toweling, and then you roll it up in the aluminum foil, and it's medium direct heat for 10 to 12 minutes, and you turn it about four times. And when you unroll that baby, it is like heaven. It's a slice of aroma you'd never believe.
Oh, man, it sounds good. You're making me hungry.
Think of June. Poor June in the other room. She's just salivating right now.
She hasn't ate lunch yet.
Judith has. No. She's busy answering the phone. We got lots of people calling in. So let's see. Pat in Eagle River will go to you. Hi, Pat.
Hi. I'm calling. One of the best chickens that we make at work is one that's stuffed with sauerkraut and bacon.
Oh.
And it's just delicious and moist. And another thing is, if you're a beginner cook, the best grill to get, I think, is one with the dual burners. And you can indirectly cook and not worry about it catching on fire. You just put your broth on one side and put it on medium, go in the house, finish your potato salad, and it's delicious. And you don't have to worry about it.
Absolutely true. About 80% of my cooking is done that way, and that's certainly what I should have told Pam, is a two-burner gas grill. Sear some meat products up, move it. 80% of my cooking.
I made a little pork roast the other night, and it just turns out perfect, and you don't have to worry about it. You just go in the house, set your little timer for 20 minutes, go out there, turn it over, and for someone who's just starting out and doesn't want to burn a lot of things, that's the way to cook.
Good point.
And on that bacon with the kraut, do you cook the bacon at all before you put it in there with the kraut?
I just barely cook it. I don't cook it till it's brown, you know. I don't bake it till it's crispy because I want a lot of that moisture from the bacon to seep into the sauerkraut and into the chicken.
So you do that with a whole chicken then?
Right.
Yeah. Now, how long do you have a whole chicken on the grill?
I usually cook it for about an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, make sure you cook it extremely well, because even the cavities of all birds like to cook from the inside out. So when you do stuff a turkey or a chicken, it needs to cook a tad bit longer to make sure that it gets to a proper temperature for that sauerkraut to reach at least 150, 152 degrees.
Yeah,
I usually use my thermometer and make sure that it's what. Yep. But, I mean, for someone who's just starting out, I mean, I'm almost 60, and that's not old. I mean,
no, it's not.
It's young. Thanks,
but that's
Pat.
Real safe, yeah.
I appreciate the call. All right. How about Brad in Fenimore? Hi, Brad. Brad, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's Cobb County today?
Are you there, Brad?
Yeah, I'm here. I'd like some information on brining, the best methods, and best ingredients to use.
Yeah, brines are really fun to work with, and it's the new thing, because years ago we used to preserve cuts of meat with brines. Now you can take tenderloins, medallions of venison, pork chops, you can do chicken breasts, any cut of meat. Brines are easy to do. You want to use kosher or sea salt. And the rule of thumb, it's a quart of liquid, apple juice, water, wines, whatever you want to use, to a quarter cup of sea salt or kosher salt, to a quarter cup of sweetener, brown sugar, maple syrup, caro syrup, things like that. And then you can, there again, knock your socks off with garlic, onions, herbs, diced up in there. And you take your cut of meat, you put the solution together, you put your cuts of meat in a Ziploc baggie, and you swirl it around a little bit. You open up your refrigerator door and you hide it behind that old mustard bottle. because you want to brine even smaller cuts of meat 12 to 18 hours. 18 hours for sure. Yeah, and then the idea is you take the meat out of the brine the next day, so you do have to plan ahead. You pat it dry to get the solution off, and then you re-oil it and season it like we always preach.
Oh.
Okay. But there's brine recipes in our cookbooks, too, that are delicious.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. I know we've got your page up on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, but what is your address?
It is P.O. Box 95, the big city of New London, Wisconsin, 54961. Or they could go to our website, maddogandmerrill.com.
Maddogandmerrill.com. That's the easy way to do it.
Right. Yes, it is.
That is exactly right. And, you know, I just want to put one shameless plug in. We revamped. We have our own sauces and spices out. And the sauces are all made in Eau Claire over at the Silver Spring Company, the folks that make the mustards and the horseradish.
Yep.
And, like, the hickory extract comes from Manitowoc, from the red oak there. So everything's made in Wisconsin. The spices are crushed and blended together down at Oak Creek at a nice company called Ferrand's. And the cookbooks are made from Van Lannen Publishing here in Wisconsin in the Fox Valley area. So we try to push local like we have for 30 years.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And
yeah.
While I'm thinking of them, before we go back to the phones, I do want to get in the second season of your TV show, Mad Dog and Merrill Midwest Grillin', is coming up. What's new there?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we've been touring the countryside. It airs throughout the whole state of Wisconsin on your local CW network at 9:30 in the morning, every Sunday morning, and in the state of Minnesota. So we went to a Saints game in St. Paul, a minor league baseball team, and we had a hoot of a time filming there. Merrill and I ran through some cherry orchards up in Door County, and we've been all over. We're like manure.
And we got shipwrecked in Door County, too.
Yes, we did, at the Shipwreck Brewery. we're having a great time, and the show is a lot of fun, and we're excited about it. And it's a half-hour show every Sunday morning on the CW Network at 9:30, your local CW Network.
There you go. Well, let's go to Dennis and Toma for a question. Hi, Dennis.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
The question refers to planking. I've seen it advertised in a small butcher shop. And I have no idea what it is. I'm assuming it's some kind of wood that you put on, or but then again, how would you prevent the wood from burning?
Planks are very.
Go ahead, there, Mary.
Okay, planks are really easy to do. You're seeing that is being the upcoming thing for on planks. First, the thing that you want to do is on those planks. They're usually anywhere from close to a foot long or a little bit longer. You want to soak them in water first. And there's several different ways, but they're absolutely excellent on seafood. But we do them on steaks, catfish, scallops, shrimp. They add a great flavor to it, and you place them really directly right on the grill. And what happens is the cedar or the hickory or the cherry will start smoking, and that smoke flavor will adhere to the meat. It comes out excellent every time.
Flame or temperature would you cook it at? It would seem that the wood would start on fire.
Nope. You soak that wood plank in water for about, I do it overnight. So you soak in water overnight, and then you put it directly on the grates of the grill. The key thing is not to open up the hood to allow the air to hit the smoke and the flames. But another shameless plug, if I can, we actually bought a wood burner with Mad Dog and Merrill's emblem on it. And if you go to maddogandmerrill.com, you can order those.
There you go.
Thank you.
Terrible, yeah. Ain't it?
I think that was Mad Dog's brother that called in.
Terry,
yeah, I think so too.
Terry in Menasha, it's on to you now. Hi, Terry.
Are you talking to me from Menasha?
Yes.
Hi. I love the stuff you've got going there. It makes me want to grill out right away tonight. We discovered a great side dish. When we were camping, we have leftover roasted potatoes, slightly burned. And I like that, slightly burned roasted potatoes. They make great potato salad with the skins on.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just a really good side dish. You just chop them up and make traditional potato salad, and it's really great.
Ooh.
So that's my contribution.
Thanks, Terry.
Okay, I'm going to hang up and listen more.
All right, thanks
a lot. You know, I can bring some over to New London if you want. That does sound good.
I just want to know how the potatoes got burnt.
Oh, I know how they got burnt.
I do too. We know those Menasha people.
Kevin and Prairie du Sac, hi to you.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Yeah. First of all, clarification, I see all these signs saying grilling season's here. Well, in my world, grilling season's 12 months out of the year. And listening to your recipe for Brian, I realized either I'm doing it wrong or I'm using the wrong terminology. So, simple question, what's the difference between a brine and a marinade? And I'll take my answer off the air.
All right. Yeah.
Marinades consists of three ingredients. First of all, we marinate not to tenderize, but to give character, personality, and flavor to cuts of meat. You want an acid is the first ingredient. Lemons, limes, oranges, grapefruits, pineapples, red wines, white wines, red wine vinegars, white vinegars, herbal vinegars, anything like that, that's an acid. That gets squeezed or poured over the top of the meat. That breaks the tissues down of the meat on the surface. The second ingredient are flavorizers, onions and peppers and garlics and herbs and gingers and things like that, smashed up, diced up, whatever you want to do to put over the top of that meat product where the acid is. The third ingredient is an oil to seal it all in. And those get marinated for 2 to 8 hours to give it character, personality, and flavor, not to try to tenderize or add moisture like a brine does.
And that the wow. brine obviously tenderized. Oh, that was a very...
I've been saying it for 30 years, I guess.
I was going to say, that was a very compact and very clear description.
Yeah, and brines actually, and they sound so solutionized and so salty, but you never taste the sodium necessarily. The sodium just opens up the pores and lets the flavors and the moistures of the brine in those 12 to 18 hours. They're delicious. They're both delicious, great ways to do it.
What about sauce? What's a mop sauce, and why are they better than some other grilling sauces?
Well, the mop sauce, basically down south, you know, when they're usually slow cooking a lot of meat, your mop sauces do not have a lot of sugar in it. A basic mop sauce that's even in our cookbook, we'll use like about 8 cups of strong coffee, a couple cups of ketchup, a couple tablespoons, seriously, of black pepper, and some margarine in there. Now, you could create your own mop, but the big thing for mop sauce is while you're cooking chicken, ribs, roast, you could mop that right on with a brush, and then there's not that much brown sugar in there to caramelize the meat, so it keeps the moisture on the meat all the time. And you could substitute coffee with beer or wine if you like. A lot of people will use apple cider vinegar and any type of flavoring that they want just to season the meat while they're grilling it.
And yep. may I add, it's a great way to hide from the in-laws on Father's Day.
Yeah. Yep, I got to go out and mop the meat again. Just a second, I'll be back in.
Well, we did put, I think Judith added your Merrill's Mustard Mop Sauce Coffee Mop to our Facebook page, so people want to see the actual recipe, they can go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Or, you know, you can also buy the book, I guess.
MadDogAndMerrill.com.
Ellis in Woodruff, we're on to you now. Hi, Ellis.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
My brother used to do a turkey in a brown paper bag on a charcoal grill. I've never watched him do it. I had it once. And I thought it was wonderful. You familiar with that one?
You know, I'm familiar with the one, of doing it in the oven, and it's got to work on the grill, too. But to be honest with you, I know people that have done that. I think they soak the bag first just a little bit. But if you do it, you place it on the grill, the indirect method of cooking. And that what happens is all the heat and the juices stay right in the bag there. But that's about as far as I know on that one.
I could never figure out why the bag didn't burn.
Yeah. You know, something we'll never know.
Now I'm going to have to try that now. But I do know that people have done that in the oven and things, too.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Somebody called in and wants to know why some people actually like gas grills.
Oh, come on.
I'll let Bad Dog do that. He's the gas.
Well, obviously it's a joke. They're fast, easy, and convenient. And there's a lot of charcoal dinosaurs out there, and a lot of people purchasing smokers and charcoal grills for the weekend when they can slow down or if you're retired, and that's a great thing. But for the three of us who are in a fast-paced world, it's nice to have gas grilled.
It is much quicker, isn't it?
Absolutely, you know, and it seems cleaner to the environment to some realms, and it's just and if you buy a good quality gas grill, they're not being thrown in the dumpsters every other year, but they last for 10-15 years, so we're being a little more eco-friendly, if you will.
And a good gas grill, you know, one of the big ones like you see in the stores that almost look like a whole table. Are there things to look for in a grill when you go to buy one like that? Because, you know, we're talking about a fair amount of money here.
Well, the big thing that you really want to check into is really, really check out the warranties and the guarantees on it. And definitely check out the stainless steel. Another option is, you know, if you're buying a porcelain, make sure that it's baked on porcelain. There's a lot of grills out there that are coated porcelain. You want to make sure that the grills are baked on porcelain. Check out the burners. There again, the big thing, check out the warranties and the guarantees on the grill.
Yeah, and when you see our television show on Sunday mornings, one of our good sponsors, we use like the Summit grills and the Genesis models, and they're good quality grills. I need to put that in because contractually I need to say that.
Oh, man. Well, you know, there are some of the usual suspects on the side dish, in your side dish chapter, but you've got several grilled fruit recipes. Why are fruits so good on the grill, and what tips can you give to people who want to try fruit?
You know, fruits are delicious to do, and between apples and pears, one of my two favorites, I'll cut them into wedges and scoop out that little bit of pit that's in each one of the wedges, put them in a Ziploc baggie, throw a cup of brown sugar over the top, a little cinnamon, a little nutmeg, and I squeeze a little lemon or lime over them first so they don't turn on you, so they don't oxidize.
Yep.
Put a little acid over the top of them. Put them in that Ziploc baggie for 3 to 4 hours, and easily take each one out. Don't dump them on the grill. You'll be cussing at me. But easily take each one out, and they'll be coated with that liquid brown sugar, and put it skin side down right in the grates of the grill. Nice medium heat for about 15, 20 minutes. Have a nice gallon of vanilla ice cream handy, and it'll be the best sundae you ever had in your life.
Oh,
They are delicious. Don't overcook them. You still want a little texture to the apples and the pears when you're done. But, you know, 15, 20 minutes, you don't even really need to turn them. Let that brown sugar coat right on top.
And you can join in, too. We still have some time here at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. I'd love to hear your questions or your own suggestions as we talk with Mad Dog and Merrill about grilling. A lot of us think we're done grilling when the entrees are on the table, but you've got some great other great dessert recipes in the book as well. I like that pineapple boat.
Yeah, the pineapple boat, that's a good one. When we do stage presentations, I quit making it because it takes up like the whole half-hour show. but you typically take a fresh pineapple, you cut it in half, you hollow it out a little bit, take the heart center core, hollow it out, and any fruits from apples, pears, bananas, plums, kiwis, grapes, raisins, walnuts, a little cinnamon. You melt some butter and you drizzle that over the top of all that. You add a little brown sugar, some coconut flakes, and some dark rum, and you heat it up indirect method of cooking for about 30 minutes, and there again, you need that gallon of ice cream.
Oh.
But one of my favorites, and we're not going to be on before the 4th of July, Larry, so I'm going to talk about grilled Twinkies. Page 126
yeah.
of our cookbook, grilled Twinkies, and you can do the all-American red, white, and blue grilled Twinkies. They're nothing more than a little sponge cake. They got all the oil you need and all the caramelization and the sugars you need. Medium direct heat. You put the Twinkies on the grill for about 3-4 minutes aside, 2-3 minutes aside, and just kind of caramelize the outside. You take a blue plastic plate for everybody. You put the Twinkies, two of them for each person, one way and one kind of sitting sideways upwards on the other side. You put some cherry pie filling over the top and some white Cool Whip, and you got the red, white, and blue all-American grilled Twinkie. It's phenomenal.
What page was that?
126.
126.
Yep.
I'm going to try that.
It is gourmet cooking to its finest.
Ross in Buxton, Minnesota. It's your turn. Hi, Ross.
Good afternoon. Thanks for letting me on. I just wanted to share my grilled turkey recipe. And I use a Cajun injection to plug the bird with, injection flavoring. And then I wrap the whole thing with about a pound of thick-cut peppered bacon to keep it moist. And then during the first part of it, I put tin foil over so I don't, ignite the bacon. And And then I'll take that tinfoil off, and it just comes out amazing. And people just love. There's not a scrap left. and that bacon is a wonderful appetizer too. When I'm checking the bird. I'll bet you that bacon's already eaten before the bird's done, though.
I like it. Did you guys ever use Cajun on a turkey?
Oh, injectables in general are fun to do. You know, you can buy store-bought injectables, the teriyakis, the garlic butters and things like that, the Cajuns. Or you can create your own, like with a chicken broth, and add different garlic and herbs and peppers and things like that to add some flavor, or white wines or things like that. And it's a great way there. Again, cuts of meat are getting so lean in this world, so it's a great way to add moisture to cuts of meat in a faster way than a brine.
Thanks again, Ross, for calling. And John in Hammond, Indiana, your turn. Hi.
How you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I got the answer for the gas charcoal fight.
Sure.
Just purchased one. It looks like a small coffin. It's half gas, half charcoal. I get home in the evening. I can throw something on after work on the gas side. And if I got the time on the weekend, do the charcoal.
There you go.
There you go. The yin-yang of the grill world.
Oh, I've grilled probably the last 30-some years, and
sure.
I gotta say this is the one I'm the happiest with. And they were talking about the like the fruits. Another good one would be pineapple with brown sugar on it. It's excellent.
Absolutely. And a little dark rum with that pineapple with that brown sugar, oh my God, it's heaven.
Oh yeah, even though you can have a little taste of it, it's not bad neither.
Oh man. Thanks, John. Thanks a lot for calling. So the hybrid, it's a hybrid. Gas and charcoal. That's pretty cool. What do you think about pellet grills?
Boy, that's something that you're going to see coming on quite strong here in the Midwest. So on the West Coast, it's a big hit on the pellet grills, but pellet grills are great. You get a nice smoke flavor. You could go ahead and get the temperature up very high, or you could slow smoke on it. And you're going to see a lot of people getting pellet grills. We talked to a lot of people that have pellet grills right now.
Well, I tell you what, this is going to be a fun weekend. I'm sure you guys you're grilling a lot over the weekend. I'll be grilling as well, and I'll be taking a look at your new cookbook while I'm doing it.
Hey, we appreciate it.
Matt, I'll tell you what, people can go online at maddogandreal.com and find out where they can get all our sauces and spices and, of course, the cookbooks. Another shameless plug, sorry.
That's all right. Thanks, you guys. I hope we get a chance to talk again soon.
All right. Thanks,
we will.
Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks a lot for being with us today. Mad Dog and Merrill, our guest today, and their new cookbook is called Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin' Cookbook. And always fun to talk with those guys. And we will definitely have them back again. Coming up, Joe Rhodes will be here to talk about Apple computers and other Mac products and services. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network.